Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die.
Brenda Spann coming to you once again. I pray that you had a wonderful day today. I'm excited about the word that's going to go forward today. We're going to talk about sin. Yes, we're going to talk about sin. A lot of time we want to ignore sin, but you know, this world has a sin problem. And so we need to address. I had in my spirit this whole month of October, I'm going to be teaching on spiritual discipline. And so as I began to start pondering on spiritual discipline, I said, first, I have to teach about sin first, because we have to know about sin, and then we have to work ourselves down to redemption, and then conversion, and then spiritual discipline. And so I wanted, for the month of October, I want to talk about sin. I want to talk about the redemption. I want to talk about inheritance. I want to talk about how we got grafted in, how we was adopted into the royal family. I want to talk about glorification. I'm going to be talking about sanctification. I want to be talking about numerous things, our inheritance as the body of Christ, as children of God. And so I'm excited. I'm excited. I pray that you hang in with me for the month of October, because it's going to be some awesome teaching. Again, we're going to talk about sin. And one of the things that when I used to do, I did children evangelism, and I would go into the public school. And one of the ways to for the children to understand what was sin, where our definition was anything you say, do, or think is sin, and whatever displeases God. And so this is what how we define sin, teaching the young children. And so I'm going to give you several definitions that I research about sin. A lot of times, you know, I have experienced that we don't hear a lot of teaching or preaching about sin, but we need to hear that. We need to be convicted, especially those hidden sins. Oh, yes, we're going to talk about hidden sins, sins that you don't want nobody to know, sins you only do when you're only in your home, only when you're in your car. You know, we're going to talk about those things because we have to know that God is omnipotent, and we should be concerned about what God thinks and not what the people, what the world thinks. And so today, oh, I'm just excited because, you know, I've been studying a lot of different theology, and, you know, we always should go back to the basics, sin, salvation, but we rarely hear that type of teaching. And so today I'm going to, before I start out talking about all the spiritual disciplines, I'm going to talk about sin. And I'm going to go into the book of Genesis. I'm going to talk about Cain. And before I do that, I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I bless you today, Father God. I give you honor. I give you glory. I lift you up today. I exalt your name. I exalt your character. I exalt your attributes. I exalt you today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there's no one else like you, God. Lord, I thank you right now that in the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless his name. He's worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be praised. The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts we praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. We are here to lift him up. He said if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And so we want to lift him up. We want to glorify him. And, you know, the Bible talks about how we are, you know, I was studying the book of Acts, you know, many times the disciples, when they came in contact with other Christians, you know, the main focus of the preaching was about the gospel. Somebody need to get this today. The main teaching, the main preaching was about the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. And this is what they preach. They didn't preach any other gospel. There is no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times, and there's nothing wrong with different type of preaching or teaching, but we need to make sure that people are getting the gospel, that they need to hear. The gospel is the one that delivers and sets free, and the gospel is the one that draws men. And so we have to keep in mind that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are to teach and to preach. Somebody need to get this today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so today we're going to talk about, I'm going to start off talking about the fall of man. And we know the fall of man was in the book of Genesis when Adam disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit of the tree. We know that the enemy deceived Eve. And Eve gave the fruit to Adam, and Adam ate. And so I see three different things that went on in that thing there. First of all, rebellion. I seen a spirit of disobedience, and I seen the spirit of deception, the enemy, the serpent deceiving Eve of eating the forbidden fruit. And so we see that now we see those three things took place, and now we can see why rebellion is roaming out through the world. We can see how deception is in the earth. We can see how the enemy is using deception to deceive God's people. Okay, and so one of the things that I notice about deception with how the enemy deceives God's people is one of the things, false doctrine. Oh, I have to say this. False doctrine is one of the tools the enemy uses among the body of Christ to cause division. Because I remember in the book of Acts, where they say one follow Paul, the other follow Peter. You know, but then Paul turns around and says that if one man's plant, one person may water, but it's God that gives the increase. And so we have to know that all glory, hallelujah, all glory goes unto God. Today we're going to talk about sin. We're going to talk about sin. We're going to talk about those thoughts that you may be having in your mind. And the Bible tells us that we have the power to what? To bring those thoughts into subjection, to bring them under submission unto God, casting those strongholds down, those thoughts, those images, you know, those repeated thoughts or repeated images that you have in your mind. He says to cast them down. We have to know that we have the power. We have the power. You know, how do we have the power? We have the power because of what Christ did. When he went to the cross, he finished the works. The Bible said that that when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto all men. We have the power. He tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit to come and endower them with the power. There's the power. We have the power, he said, to walk upon serpents and scorpions. And he said, and when we walk upon them, they will not hurt us. It will not hurt us. So whatever enemy that's in your life today, it's under your feet. Somebody need to get excited. Whatever enemy that's coming up against to oppress you, that come up against to cause you harm, that enemy is under your feet. You have the power. You have the authority. Okay? You have the authority. And so why? Because you are a child of God. You are a child of God. And so the book of Genesis, I tell you about how the fall of man came into play. And so when Adam disobeyed God, that sin passed down to all mankind. The Bible said was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Why? Because of what Adam done. But we're gonna see. I'm gonna show you in scripture. It talks about the first man Adam and the last man Adam. It's talking about Christ. And so we have to know that just because sin exists, we don't have to indulge in it. Okay? We know that we make mistakes. We make mistakes. And we make mistakes. And it is what it is. But we have to know that we don't practice sin. We have to know that we have, as believers, as the body of Christ, we don't practice sin. And I say it is what it is. And sometimes we old habits, it's hard to break, and forgive me. But we have to know that we don't waddle in sin. We don't indulge in sin, because what sin does is sin separates us from God. Yes, it does. Sin separates us from God, and especially the body of Christ. What it does is sin hinders us. And it hinders us from moving forward. It stops us for the communication that we have between God. And so we have to know that if you are battling today with some type of sin problem or some type of addiction or some type of thought or whatever it may be, I'm encouraging you today to work on yourself. Because, you know, I don't know what you're battling with, okay? And sometimes you can be in a position in your life that you can be addicted to a sin or adultery or a fornication or lying or stealing. You can be addicted. Those things can be addictive. And we're going to see, I have like six things I want to explain to you some metaphors about sins. And so I'm going to read the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying today. I'm trying to teach with simplicity so you can be able to understand what the Word of God is conveying to you today. And so the Bible says that in Genesis, the fourth chapter, it says, starting at the fourth verse, it said, the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. And we know Abel and Cain was Adam and Eve, two children. He said, why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. Sin is waiting at your door, Cain. This is what God is telling him. He said, but if you do right, he said, you will be accepted. You will be accepted. But he said, if you do not do what is right, if you continue on to dealing with jealousy and angry and resentment or rejection, he said, sin is waiting at your door, Cain. And so he said, but you must do it. He says, you must do it. What God is telling Cain and what God is telling us today, he's telling Cain that you have the authority over that thing that are in your life. This is what God is telling. He said, you must subdue it and be its master. You must be the master over the sin in your life. You don't let sin control you or let sin and bondage you. He said, you have control over this thing that's in your life. And I'm here to tell you today, who I'm speaking to, that's listening today, whatever you may be battling with, you have control over it. You have authority over it. You are the master of your life. You have the control to say no. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. And so I broke down some definition of sin. And again, I said this is just the first teaching of sin, but we're gonna move next week. We're gonna talk about redemption because we need to know these things. We need to know the basic. If someone comes to us and you was able to minister to them about salvation, about sin or whatever, you need to get this. You need to understand how sin came into play. You know, and so we're gonna look at some of the sins. And so define sin. So I looked up in the dictionary, and the dictionary defines sin as an immoral act considered to be transgression against the law of God. It's doing what is wrong or not doing what is according to God's rule. Okay, so we have to know that the sin is opposing against God. Okay, it's immoral. And so we have to know that God does not look upon sin. Oh, my goodness. We have to know that sin separates us from God. And the Bible says that no man will be without an excuse about sin. You know, Romans 1 and 20 says, forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his internal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Okay, so what this is saying is that we can look outside and see that someone created the sky. Come on, somebody. We can go outside and look and see that the grass did not occur by itself. We can look at ourselves and know that it had to take someone to make us. We are so perfectly designed. It had to be someone to make us. And how we're able to see and hear and we're able to have children. And someone had to do this. And God is saying that no man will be without excuse. All you have to do is look around and see the nature and the things of God. Sometimes when I would ride up into the mountain, I would look at it and I would say, oh my goodness, God, I've traveled many places and I've seen some very, very beautiful sights. I have seen some beautiful places. And I said, man, I wonder what God was thinking about when he created this. And so we know for sure that there is a God. And why? Because the Bible says in Romans 1:20 that we can go outside and see the nature of God. We can see his nature. We can see his nature, his beauty, our existence. I mean, that's right there. Confirms God. It confirms God. I get excited. Isaiah 59:2, it says, sin can consist of evil acts. Sin can consist of thoughts, words, or deeds. One scripture came to me and says that we sin from the for the pride of life, the flesh of the eyes, I totally forgot. I know one is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so we know a lot of times that we look upon things that we should not be looking upon. And so we need to, when we see things that we know that is not pleasing, that's lustful, we need to turn our heads, okay? I'm trying to help somebody be delivered today. I'm trying to help someone today. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh cries out. It desires to be satisfied by sin. And so what we have to say, no. I'm reminded of Joseph when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. The Bible said that he fled from her. And so many times that what we have to do as people, especially God-fearing people, you have to flee from things that may cause you to be entrapped by sin. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. I hope you are getting this message. And so another definition of sin is turning away from God in more acts towards God. And so what happens when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, when they rebelled against God, physical and spiritual death fell upon them. Physical and spiritual death fell upon them. They did not die immediately, but eventually they did die. And I believe the word says that we were not supposed to die. We were supposed to be in a childlike state, and we were supposed to enjoy the earth. We were supposed to enjoy the earth that God had created. But because of sin, death fell upon all who have sinned. And so we see that in the Bible, men could not get it right. They could not get it right. And many times, the wrath of God fell upon the disobedience. Oh, yes. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. A lot of people don't want to walk in the light. Because why? Because then their darkness will be exposed. Some people are just comfortable being in darkness. Some people are just comfortable being in sin. And I'm telling you from experience, it's a horrible state. It's a dangerous state. Because if you die in that state, you will not be with God. And I'm here to talk to someone today. If you're battling with a sin problem, are you battling with some type of addiction or some, you know what? We need to take our time to work on ourselves. If you're battling with anything today, you need to take our time and seek God for deliverance. Seek God for help. Seek God. He's the answer to your problem. He's the answer to that sin problem that you have. Galatians 3 and 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Well, because the people could not get it right, God gave them the law. God gave them the Ten Commandments. And so he's telling you can't get it right. You cannot, you know, one thing God did give us a conscience. He did. And he did give us a will. But then he said, you can't get it right. I'm going to tell you what your do's and don'ts. Okay? And so he gave them the Ten Commandments. And but the Ten Commandments was only a schoolmaster to bring them unto Christ, to open their eyes unto Christ. Amen. And so sin, transgression of the law of God. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All have sinned. We have all violated the law of God. Okay? And so one of the things that we have to realize that, and I know many times we do this, we want to label different sins. Oh, that's just a small lie, or that's just a white lie, but in God's eye, some things are is an abomination to God. Some sins are abomination unto God, but in God's eye, sin is sin. A murderer is no better than a liar or adulterer or someone that's worshiping false idols. It's all sin. They're all in the same category. We are the one that label, oh my goodness, did she do that or he do that? But guess what? You're over here committing fornication. And so we have to know that we cannot, you know, be judgmental and be labeling sin, because in the eyes of God, in the eyesight of God, sin is sin. Okay? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, or his ears too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. God will not hear a sinful man. He doesn't hear the prayers of a sinner. He does not. So it says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us up from all unrighteousness. He said if we confess our sins, we need to be confessing things every single day. Why? To keep us cleansed, to keep us connected to God. The Bible says that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. We, and I always say we because I'm not exempt. We have to repent immediately when we make a mistake. Because Christians, this is one of the ways I explain to my children. I say Christians does not practice sin. We don't practice the sin. We don't practice the sin. We don't stay in sin. But I do let them know that, okay, if you made a mistake, you get up, you dust it out, and you try not to do it again. Try not to do it again, okay? Because what happens is if we get into a state that we fall short, we'll begin to start walking in a condemnation. And the Bible says that Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through him, we may be saved. So we have to be careful, because I'm telling you, telling you from experience, I walked in condemnation for a long time. I walked in unforgiveness for a long time. I had a hard time of forgiving myself. Oh my goodness. And we should have a sensitive spirit, because a sensitive spirit causes us not to walk into a door of sin, or walk into go into the wilderness, or turn our face from God, or knowing that what we're supposed to do is right, we don't do it. So a sensitive spirit is good, but we have to know that there's no one perfect but God. This is not the Bible. Paul said, because we have grace, do you continue to sin that grace may abound? He said, no, God forbid. No, you do not continue to sin because you say, oh, God, I have grace. God will forgive me. No, premeditated, no. So what you do is, and I'm going to just encourage, I'm just really want to strengthen someone today. If you have sin or you are dealing with some type of sin, release it. Give it to God. Say, Lord, for you I live. Lord, for you I die. You know, make a commitment to God that you will live for him. Okay? And so it's five things that I wrote down as a metaphor for sin. And so one of the things that I wrote down was that sin enslaves us. Sin enslaves us, okay? Sin wants to keep a yoke around our neck. It wants to hold us captive. It wants to have us being a servant to it, a bond servant. It wants to hinder you. It wants to stop your communication from God. Sin will enslave you. It will enslave you. Okay, and so we talked about the book of Genesis 4 and 7 about Cain. The book of John, the 8th chapter, the 34th verse of the Bible says Jesus was talking to a large amount of people that was following him. He said, Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Okay, and so what makes us different from the world is that we don't practice sin. As the body of Christ, we don't practice sin. We begin to mature. We begin to allow God to cleanse and deliver us from all that stuff that that we've been picked up, you know, down the line, and you know, and we begin to live holy for the God and allow God's fruit to manifest in our life, and we begin to live for God and begin to do the work that God has called us to do, or whatever talent God has given you, you begin to start, you know, doing those things that God has called you to do as the body of Christ, as the body of Christ. The, Romans 7:14 says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, so as a slave to sin. And so this is Paul. Paul is in the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, if Paul is talking about the things that he want to do, he finds that he cannot do, things that he want to do. And so what happened is he's talking about a battle. We have a battle. We know that the Bible talks about how the spirit war against the flesh and the flesh war against the spirit. We have a fight that's going on. The spirit man wants to live for God and wants to continue to grow in God and stay connected to God. Well, the flesh wants only what the flesh wants, which is nasty and more things. You know, wants the lust, it wants perversion, it wants all that different stuff. It wants whatever makes the flesh feel good. It wants to watch and see and hear all different type of stuff that's not appropriate. That is the flesh. The flesh wants what it wants, and regardless of the relationship with God, they don't want, you know, they, well, you know. I see many times, and I had a discussion with someone today about how people can jump in the spirit real quick and then jump in the flesh. No, we can't. And Romans 7:23, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin of work within me. And so we have to know that we have the victory over our flesh. We have the victory over this world. We have the victory over anything that we may be tempted by. You know, a lot of times I hear the word "I can't," and it's just the flesh. We have to push ourselves. You have to say, you know, and I'm many times we say we can't, and then when we do it, we say, "Oh man, that was easy. It was easy to let that that unhealthy relationship go, or that habit to go, or to say no to whatever sin that may be in your life." It was easy, but a lot of times we don't push ourselves. We don't apply ourselves. And so I'm encouraging you to apply yourself today. God wants you to be delivered. And so another thing that I want to talk about, how sin can be very deadly. The Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can find that in Romans 6 chapter 23rd verse. It talks about the wages of sin, the wages of sin, the currency of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The currency of sin is eternal death, but the currency in Christ is eternal life. Somebody needs to get excited. And so we have to know that God gave us a gift. That gift is what? Eternal life. A gift. Okay? The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son why? So we can live. Okay? So he took on the sins of the whole world. He took on the penalty of the sins that we deserve, that the judgment that we deserve. He took upon himself. Why? So we can be reconciled back to God. That we can be reconciled back to God. That we can be connected to God. That we may have a life and life more abundantly. We can live eternally with God. And so that's why he came to do it. He came because he loved us. God loves you today. The Bible, the book of Romans 5:12 says, death through Adam's life through Christ. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. Okay? And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. And so we see what I was talking about in the beginning about sin fell upon humanity because of Adam. Okay? And so, but we say, but whereby as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. And so we know that even though Adam sinned, God still made provision for us to be saved. Oh, yes, he made provision for us to be saved, saints. Ephesians 2:1 said, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, and so we were dead in our sins, but now we are quickened. We are made alive in Christ. Okay, and so the currency of sin. I'm just excited. I got so much notes. I got so much to teach. I got so much to share with you. Sin is also a sickness. Oh yes, we have to know when it was talked about in the book of 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53:5. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his stripes you have been healed. And so what it's talking about, we're healed from sickness, disease, but ultimately what this scripture is talking about and the scripture Isaiah 53:5, he said we are healed from sin. We are saved from sin. This is why God came. He came to heal us. He came to save us from our sin. That was the ultimate goal why Jesus came down here, to save us from our sin and to reconcile us back to God, to bring back into fellowship and relationship unto God, where the relationship was broken in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And so Isaiah 53:5 said, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, for our sin, for our transgression, for our lawlessness. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, saints. We are healed. We are healed. You are whole today. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. You know, God is worthy to be praised. When we begin to start thinking about and researching and reading and studying about all the things that he has done for us. It wasn't just a simple death that he died. No, it was more than that. He came to die the death so we can be reconciled back unto God. Another thing, sin is impurity. It's impure. Impurity, the quality of condition of being impure. Oh, my goodness. You can find yourself in sin. And my goodness, you can just feel filthy, nasty. You can just feel like yuck. Okay? And so God says that. He said, I have thrown your sins in the sea of forgiveness, and I remember them no more. But in order for him to throw your sins in the sea of forgiveness, what? We have to what? Repent. We have to repent. And he said, I will not remember your sins anymore. All you had to do is just say no, repent, and turn around. Allow God to cleans you up, okay? It says Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, ooh, nasty, they shall be as white, hallelujah, as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool, okay? God wants you cleansed. He said you are cleansed through what? His word, okay? We have to be cleansed through God's word. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us through the washing of his word, you know, the renewing of our mind. You know, we have to be, God will take the taste of sin out of your mouth. That thing that you are battling with today, God will remove it. He will take the taste out of your mouth, and you won't even desire to even do it anymore, or say it anymore, or indulge anymore, or think it anymore. He will take it from you. But you have to make up your mind today to say, yes, Lord, and know the sin, okay? And so Psalm 51 says, to wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, whenever we come before God, we need to repent. We need to repent. We need to confess our sins. We need to confess our failures, our weakness to God. You know, he wants to really deliver you and set you free. We have to believe it. God wants to see you whole. He wants to see you healed. You know, he wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you be victorious over any situation in your life today. You have to trust God. And that's what it all boils down to, is that trusting God. A lot of times that we depend on our own self-determination of our own self-strength. Of doing things, but we can't do nothing without God. We can't do nothing without him, okay? And so here's a couple of scriptures before I end. And so next week we're going to talk about redemption. I hope that you got a whole 30, 40 minutes of scriptures and understanding about sin. When I researched sin, you have over 100 some scriptures about sin. And so when you have that many scriptures in the Bible about sin, you know that God was very serious about, you know, for his people not to sin. I mean, not to sin. And that was one of the reasons why a lot of the wrath of God fell upon them, disobedience. They stayed in the wilderness as long as they were supposed to stay in the wilderness because of disobedience, because of rebellion, because of sin, because of doubt, because of unbelief. They stayed in situations longer than they were supposed to stay in because of all those things that was hindering them, all those things that was blocking. I'm pretty sure they prayed about many things, but because of their rebellion, because of their sin, God was not able to answer their prayers, okay? 1 John 1:9, I said that we need to confess our sins. Romans 3:23, it says, for I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:15, I talked about, Paul says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. No, we're not. I'm telling you, the dangerous thing to fall into a mindset that you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this, and then I'm going to ask for forgiveness later. That's a dangerous mindset, okay? Matthew 18:15, you can find a scripture in there about sin. Psalms 119:133, it says, direct my footstep according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. That should be our prayer. Let no sin rule over me, God. Why? Because I want to be holy. I want to be pleasing in your sight. I want to be acceptable, God. I want my offering. I want my body as a living sacrifice to be acceptable in your sight, God. Okay? James 4:4, friendship with the world means enmity against God. And therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. We cannot worry about what the world thinks about us. We cannot. I have lost many friends because of me giving my life to Christ. And I'm not saying friends, but I mean, I have. People just don't. I don't do the things they do. I don't socialize. I don't do it because we don't have anything in common. When I gave my life to Christ, and because they didn't give their life to Christ, we have nothing in common. Darkness has nothing in common with light has nothing in common with the darkness, okay? Only thing I have for them is the word of God. That's all I have, okay? Above all, 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And so and that's when the scripture talks about forgiving. We have to forgive our brothers and sister. Why? Because it's benefit to us. You know, unforgiveness only does it hurt us. It hurts us. It hinders us. Okay? Psalm 51:2 says, plot out my transgression. And so we talked about that scripture. Luke 6:45, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Oh my goodness. for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so a lot of times you got a lot of sin in your heart, sin that's going on in your life. Trust me, it will come out from your mouth. It will come out. It will come out. You start to speak things that is lines up with what's in your heart. It does. I mean, I'm telling you, begin to indulge in conversations. If you're doing, you commit fornication, well, you're saying, okay, well, it's okay to commit fornication. Then you start talking to your friend girl about fornication, amen, and then, yeah, all this old stuff. And then, so then what's in your heart will come out in your mouth, all right? Ungodly conversation, okay? And so we have to watch what we allow to come into our hearts, saints, okay? 1 John 1:6, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. And so it's about him. If we claim that we have fellowship with God, okay, and you walk in darkness, you lie and do not live out God's truth, okay? Galatians 6:1 says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. You know, sometimes when we get to a place in our life where we feel that we have arrived, sometimes we want to be so hard on the person that that may have fallen short. Okay, so we have to know that we have to be gentle when we're restoring people, when we're talking to them about them falling short or falling down or indulging in sinful habits or whatever it may be. We have to be very gentle when we're dealing with people because we don't want to offend anyone. Because we can just easily make the same mistakes they have made. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. Let's not be judgmental. They say in Galatians 6:1 says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And so I have many, many, many more scriptures about sin. Many more scriptures. Well, we have to know that sin is deadly for the body of Christ. Okay, you can't walk in victory and still be in bondage. You cannot walk in victory and still be enslaved to sin. And so we have to also be mindful of how the enemy comes up and attack us because, you know, what have dominated you, the enemy will bring those things into the door to tempt you. And those are the time where you need to just really hold on to God and say, Lord, I need your help right now. You know, we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so we need to utilize it. We need to allow it to help us while we're on this journey. And so, oh my goodness, I'm so excited about this teaching. So I pray that you enjoy the teaching about sin today. And if you're dealing with sin today, I pray that every sin, every bondage, every stronghold be broken off your life, that it be broken off your mind. If you're having thoughts, evil thoughts, evil images, repetition thoughts. We pray against anxiety, all those different types of spirits that try to come up against the body of Christ, fear, worry. We pray against that right now in the name of Jesus. We pray against strongholds, any stronghold that is lingering there, God. We pray against, we ask that it be torn down, oh God, that it be debated, that it be diminished, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you, those who are struggling today with sin, God, I ask that you give them strength to be an overcomer, God, that you give them strength to say no, that you say, they give them strength to repent, oh God, to give them strength to give that yoke over to you, God. Lord, why? Because you care for them, God. You care for them. You love them. You love them before the foundation of the earth. They was made in your image, God. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. Lord, we ask that you touch those that may be going through some things today or their children may be going. Many children may be incarcerated, God. We ask that you touch the parents. Lord, we touch the parents today, God. Touch the children, oh God. Lord, we ask that you open up the gates, that you open up the bar doors today, God, and release your children. But release them with a changed mind, oh God, with a new destiny. With a new purpose, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen, amen. I am excited.
Family, Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.